Hi, this is Wendy, your host for Community Matters here on Joy FM. And today we have a special guest with us. I know that all of you remember Miss Candy Payne, and I know you miss her, but she is now helping her husband in a different type of ministry. Today we have Mr. Jacob Payne, and he is here to tell us all about a nonprofit called Every Believer a Witness. Every Believer a Witness teaches and equips pastors and leaders to motivate their entire congregation to share the gospel. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved with this ministry, and just tell us about the ministry in itself.
I think the best place to start would be in how I got to the ministry. Well, first, I grew up in a godly home, godly parents. I went to Christian school my whole life, was very active in church my entire life. And even in music ministry, I made a profession of faith at the age of 11 that I got saved. But I can remember just going through my entire life with feelings of emptiness and brokenness and never really feeling complete. It was up until finally at the age of 34 years old, through partying and drinking and carrying on, I realized that I was in trouble and I was broken and empty, and what I was missing was Jesus. And so I can remember at the age of 34, one night laying in the bed, I just completely surrendered my life to Jesus, believing that he truly died on a cross for me. He paid the price for all my sin and all the wicked things I was doing. And I thought, you know, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my faith in you, but I need your help. I've got some addiction in my life, some things that I need your help to stop doing. And the very next day, I quit partying and drinking and cussing and smoking. I quit everything that I was doing. I wanted no part of the wicked lifestyle.
Yeah, you finally let God lead your life at that point.
It was quickly within that once I got saved, my life changed and I started having love and patience in my heart. And I realized, wow, I got the fruits of the Spirit because I finally have the Holy Spirit inside of me now helping me, the fruits of the Spirit. From there, because of my salvation, I had a direct love to want to go share what I experienced with Jesus with others. Just a natural Holy Spirit-filled moment of just wanting to share that, you know, my experience with Jesus with others. And so I started witnessing so many different ways. There's so many tools out there in the world today. I was using different ones, witnessing left and right, and using different tools. I've been yelled at, cussed out, spit on. People wanted to punch me in the face. So I can remember when finally I was listening and going through a revival or an evangelism revival training through Every Believer a Witness. Dennis Nunn was teaching it. He's the founder and president. Created it back in 2005, but he was actually teaching it at our church. When I heard the wonderful ways that Every Believer a Witness taught how to simply share the gospel in a simple, practical, and easy method, I instantly implemented it in my own life and started doing it where we simply teach people how to share their story, just like Paul did in Acts 26, where he shared a story before, how, since Jesus changed your life. And then right in the middle, you put the gospel. Don't just tell them that you got saved or where you go to church, but Jesus changed my life because he died on a cross. He rose from the grave in 3 days. That's the gospel that has to be proclaimed. And it's called, the Greek word is dunamis. It's talking about dynamite, power. It's explosive. It's powerful.
Every Christian has that power within them.
Every professing Christian has the power. It's just a matter of if we're utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit and being an obedient witness. So I started using this method of witnessing, and there's two other methods too that Every Believer Witness teaches. But as I started doing this and just really, when I started sharing my story with the gospel in it, I never once had anyone ever yell at me, get mad at me, spit on me, curse at me, because I realized when I was just simply doing like a lot of people in the New Testament did, they just shared of their experience with Jesus. That's why I was able to share my story with some of the hardest atheists or some of the hardest people, because I was simply just telling them that I was wicked. I was sinful. Jesus changed my life. He died. He rose from the grave. Everybody loves to hear a good story. And we're very strategic too. Like in our training, when we teach people how to write their stories and how to share their stories, even before, I mean, it's very strategic. You know, we tell them, don't talk about anything spiritual. Nothing church, nothing God. Before Jesus, you got to remember, you're talking to lost people. A lost person, you know, if we just immediately start out telling how we grew up in church all our life and Sunday school and this and that, most of the time they're going to just turn us off. They're not going to listen. They're going to tune it out and walk away. When we really strategize and we craft our words of our story, because the whole purpose of it is to share the gospel, because without the gospel in it, it's just a story. So that's the whole preparation is making it so it's a vehicle to deliver the gospel. And so did that a lot. I got to know Dennis Nunn, the founder. And eventually I found out, you know, he told me, he said that he had been praying for 23 years for his successor come and take over the ministry, and was praying hard. We met and we talked, and because what really sold me on the ministry is this, it's a staggering statistic. The Holy Spirit really used it to show me his will and calling in my life. I heard this statistic that said that 99% of professing Christians are not actively sharing their faith.
What do you think holds people back? For me personally, sometimes I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing. I might pick the wrong timing. That kind of holds me back a little bit. What are some other things that may hold people back?
Our ministry, we teach the top three ways of how to share the gospel, but we also get to the, what are the root causes why most Christians aren't regularly sharing the gospel? Well, we've narrowed it down to four things. Number one, apathy. A lot of people just aren't motivated. A lot of professing Christians, I hate to say it, they just don't care when it comes to sharing Jesus and sharing the gospel with others. And then number two, a lot of people just don't know how to. They've never been taught how to actually share the gospel. A lot of pastors will preach about the Great Commission and teach about the Great Commission, but when it comes to physical training on how to actually do it, a lot of professing Christians just don't know how. Number three, this is a big one, fear.
That's what I just said.
Fear.
That is like my number one thing. And I'm a people person. You would think I wouldn't be afraid, but I kind of am.
Yeah. And we remind people in our training, you know, we're addressing all of these things that I'm talking about in our evangelism training, because this gets to the root cause. We're not just teaching during the service how to do it. We're getting to the root causes of why we're not, so that we can really get to the root of the problem.
Why are we afraid?
Yeah. And the thing is, we remind professing Christians, guess what? It's okay to have fear. Fear is normal. It is. It's normal. There's a ton of Bible characters in Scripture that had fear. Paul had fear. Adam had fear. Abraham had fear. Elijah had fear. So, I mean, it's okay. We have to understand that fear is normal.
It's a human emotion.
It is. We teach them how to face that.
Speaking of fears, I know I did share one of my fears, but another fear that I have is being rejected. Nobody likes to be rejected. I kind of get discouraged because I want to see people saved at that moment. But I have to remind myself that God is the one who gives the increase and not me. But sometimes it's just so hard when people just stare at you, and when you're sharing and they're just staring at you. How does every believer a witness teach us how to not worry about rejection?
Yeah, so I mean, Wendy, that's a wonderful question. We actually address that in when we're talking about fear in our evangelism training series. One of the things that we discuss and talk about is how to forsake the win them mentality. Forsake the win them mentality. What that means is, a lot of times we'll ask the church people, the congregation, when we're talking about the forsake the win them mentality. We say, who won the Super Bowl this past season? And usually several people in the church will yell out, the Seattle Seahawks. And then I'll say, yes, they did. And then I'll say, who was seventh in the conference? And it's like you can hear crickets in the background, because it gets so quiet, because nobody knows who was seventh in the conference. And usually that's when I yell out, who cares who was seventh in the conference? Because we want a winner. That's all we care about. We want to know who won the Super Bowl. We don't care who was seventh in the conference.
Right.
And that's where, if we're not careful, that same win them mentality can roll over into witnessing. And a lot of times Christians will think, well, if I'm not converting a lost person, if I'm not winning them, I'm a failure.
I get discouraged.
Yeah, and you get discouraged. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Bible clearly teaches us and tells us, Apollos and Paul, they watered, they planted seeds. God brings the harvest. Mm. That takes the pressure off. Guess what? You're not winning anything. God, he's the winner. He brings the harvest. We're called to simply plant the seed of the gospel. We're called to water seeds. Maybe you didn't plant it, but you're having a gospel sharing moment and you're watering the seed. I literally walked out of an appointment that I had with a gentleman who I shared the gospel with, I'd say 2 years ago. And then I just found out that 3 weeks ago, a friend of mine was sharing his faith with him, watering the seed that I planted. And 3 weeks ago, he surrendered his life to Jesus and he got saved and born again.
That is awesome.
It is. It's so fantastic. Yes. And it reminds me that the importance of planting seeds, mm-hmm. and someone else that was an obedient witness watered the seed that I planted. And then guess what? God brought the harvest. God is the winner. It takes the stress off of believers because we don't have to worry about the winning part. The Bible says we will win some,
right.
But we don't have to stress about the winning part because here's the thing. In Matthew 13, the Bible talks about the soil. He's in charge of the soil type. We're just to plant. So forsake the win them mentality. Just plant and water seeds and be obedient. And then also number four, powerlessness. The final session of our evangelism training, we get into talking about the Holy Spirit and how really witnessing should be a result of a life that is overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Makes sense.
We should be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we're just overflowing. Just like if I tried to fill a small drinking glass and then I'm pouring a 5 gallon bucket of water and it's going to overflow and go everywhere. The same as in our Christian walk. We claim to be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is true for us as a new creation. And if we're truly a new person, a new creation, there's going to be evidence in our life. And if we're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be pretty evident when we're overflowing. We talk about a lot of the reasons on what can dampen the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, because a lot of times Christians forget that we quench the power of the Holy Spirit.
We do. God tells us so many times to do something and we're always, me personally, it's like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I can do that. Can I do that? Am I supposed to do that? And it's like, sometimes he just wants you to take that step of faith and just do it. So if he tells you to go talk to a person, then go talk to the person. But sometimes we hold ourselves back.
We forget we have the power source. You know, that's why Paul, a lot of times in the New Testament, when he would ask his friends to pray for him, he always asked, you know, he said, pray that God will give me boldness in proclaiming the good news. We have this power source of boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us. We're just not either utilizing it or we teach that we might have sin in our life. We may have sin in our life that is quenching the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole purpose for 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, mm-hmm. He's faithful and just to cleanse us, to purify us of all unrighteousness. I've heard a lot of pastors sometimes, I wouldn't necessarily say misuse, but use this verse with lost people in a sense that you have to understand the verse in context. It's saying, if we confess, if. So maybe we will, maybe we won't. The we is talking about believers, Christians. It's not talking about lost people. Mm-hmm. He's saying if we as Christians, believers, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse us. So we have to confess daily. Those are the root causes, apathy, just not understanding or knowing how to do it, and then fear and then powerlessness, showing how one is to confess sin. Because if anything is to be filled, it has to be emptied first. Confessing sin is how we empty ourselves so that we can be refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when we're truly experiencing the full power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to naturally live a life that is a witness because we're going to be overflowing. That's why it's so crucial to read our Bible, pray every day, walk in holiness, growing closer to Jesus every day. So we get to all these root causes. And then, most importantly, we teach the top three ways of how to simply, easily, practically share the gospel through sharing your story. We also teach people how to pray for their server. A lot of people forget about the power and the witness in prayer. You know, when we offer to pray for someone,
right?
I'd like to pray for you today. Is there anything specific I can help you pray about? Most of the time, if we will be obedient witnesses for Jesus, and if we ask somebody if there's something we can help them pray about. Sometimes they won't say anything or there's nothing really to pray about.
I'm fine. That's what I hear. I'm good.
And that's okay. But be ready because most of the time they're going to unload on you. And they're going to start crying and boohooing because they're finally getting to experience what it means to be next to an obedient, kind, loving child of God who's taking the time to love them enough that to share their story of how Jesus changed their life with them. And even how to use simple gospel tracts. Gospel tracts are so underrated, you know, in today's world. Some people don't give them enough credit, but they're such a wonderful icebreaker into having a gospel moment. Because the biggest thing that we teach is how to turn a secular conversation into a spiritual one, no matter where you're at. A lot of times people think evangelism is only reserved for once a month if we have visitation at church or once a year when we do a mission trip to a foreign country. But Acts 1:8, you know, we're commanded to be witnesses to everyone everywhere. We're to be on mission at all times. Be prepared in season, out of season. We're always supposed to be ready to share the gospel with someone, not just invite them to church, although that is a good thing to do, but it's not biblical. There ain't a single verse in the Bible that says, go therefore and invite them to church.
True.
It does say, go share the gospel, go preach the gospel, be my witnesses, go make disciples of all nations. And that's what we're commanded to do. And a lot of times it does come down to it is an obedience issue when it comes to Christians. We just have to always remember, why are we here? When we got saved, why did God just not pluck us out of this world and take us right to heaven? Because everything that we can do here on earth, we can do much better in heaven. We can sing better in heaven. We can do everything better in heaven, except for two things.
And those are?
We won't be sinning in heaven.
No.
We can sin here on earth.
Right.
Guess what? There won't be no lost people in heaven.
Mm-mm.
Which means we are to witness here on earth. So we're here on this earth. We sin and we can witness. What do you think God wants us to do?
I don't even think I have to think twice about this one. I think witnessing would probably be the one thing we are supposed to be doing.
Yes, we're here to witness because a lot of times people misunderstand the word worship and where Scripture talks about glorifying God. When we worship, we glorify God. And witnessing, as we're commanded to do anyways, it's a form of worship. Witnessing, we're worshiping, and the Bible clearly tells us, guess what? When we're witnessing and we're worshiping Jesus, bragging on Jesus, making much of him, spreading the good news, the gospel, it glorifies God. So we have to remember, we're a witness everywhere we are, even in the times that we're not in the best of mood.
We're human. We're not always in a good mood, and life sometimes is just not a bed of roses.
Absolutely. You know, when we get the Holy Spirit, you know, we have one of the power sources, joy. Just because we're filled with joy, is a Christian always happy?
No.
No. Christian's not always going to be happy, but that's where we're different because we have joy.
Yes.
Within. So even in the unhappy moments, we still have our joy as a follower of Jesus. And that's where we just have to remember in every day-to-day thing that we do, whether we're in a long line at the grocery store and we're frustrated because we're in a rush, or we're on the phone with a credit card company and it's taking forever and you're getting forwarded back and forth. It's taking forever to get somebody. You're getting frustrated, impatient. Even though patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's the one I struggle with the most, I believe.
So we have to always be on guard and be ready at all times. Guard our testimony. And then two, to share it, to share our story of how Jesus changed our life. A lot of times, you know, when I'm in these sometimes frustrating moments, I'll give you an example. Talked about the credit card company. Had a moment where I could sense some frustration deep down inside of me. And I finally thought, no, I'm a child of God. And after, you know, they finished helping me get the credit card information all fixed and everything done,
right,
I simply asked the person, I said, hey, before we get off the phone, I'd like to pray for you today. Is there anything going on in your life I can help you pray about? Random person on the phone.
Interesting.
They immediately busted out into tears.
Wow.
And were sobbing so much on the phone. It took at least a full minute before we could get back into conversation for the crying to kind of cease enough to where we could talk. And they just started just unloading on me things that they were experiencing. And then I was able to share my story and share the gospel with them on the phone of how Jesus changed my life, not because of anything I did, but because he died on a cross, rose from the grave. He made the price. He paid it. And I simply put my faith and trust in him, repented, turned from my sin, and then my life changed. I'm sharing this on the phone with them. And the same can be when we're at the grocery store or at the ball game. We're in a line, we're frustrated or whatever. We're always on mission, and we have to remember, have some self-control, be patient, and look for opportunities, even when we're not in the mood.
Right.
God puts opportunities in front of us every single day. But remember the percentage I gave you, 99% of professing Christians are ignoring it. 99% of Christians never share the gospel. Here's the staggering thing, Wendy. I'm finding as, you know, when I got into the ministry and really started spending more time with churches and pastors, seeing the full spectrum of everything, what troubles me the most, and it shows me the need of our ministry, is that 99% that I mentioned that isn't sharing their faith. Unfortunately, it includes pastors. A lot of pastors in the world today are good about proclaiming the gospel in the church, behind the pulpit, probably every single Sunday, proclaiming the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. But unfortunately, outside the church, that's where a lot of times some aren't.
So we have a lot of other things that I really am interested in learning about, and I'm excited to talk to you about. But we're about to run out of time today. If Mr. Jacob Payne would be interested to come back next week and talk with us, I will have him come back and we will finish our conversation and we will finish talking about every believer a witness. So what do you say, Jacob?
Absolutely. I'd love to. God has called me to equip the saints and most importantly, to reach lost people to Jesus, but also to train professing Christians how to be obedient witnesses for Jesus. I would love to come back and continue to equip and give more information.
Well, listeners, I hope you enjoyed this first section of Every Believer a Witness with Jacob Payne. We'll be excited to hear more about Every Believer a Witness next week. In the meantime, if you are interested and you want to know how all this works and maybe have someone or a trainer come to your church, you can look up everybelieveratwitness.org. Jacob, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blessing and an honor.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And as always, if it matters to your community, it matters to Joy FM.